Hi, folks. Welcome to the Moving On Podcast. I'm Jay Norman, and this is my wife.
Hi, I'm Jessie Norman. Just like many of you, Jay and I have both walked through some difficult seasons in our lives.
And we know just how easy it is to get stuck.
We now have five beautiful
and crazy
children, and because of everything we've been through, our home operates on grace.
A concept we didn't fully understand until way later on in life.
Until we actually needed it ourselves. We want to share through stories of love and laughter
how we were moving on and how big of a game changer grace can be.
In relationship with one another and how we treat ourselves and, in our case, blending a family.
Something that may just require the largest amount of grace to date.
Preach.
You never know what road life's going to take you on. We have a podcast.
Yes, we do. And we really hope y'all enjoy it.
Hi, babe.
Hey, how are you?
I'm
oh,
good.
Dear.
Oh, boy.
Okay, should we start over?
Nah.
Okay.
We were very, energetic about our start there this morning.
I don't know. Do you think we get our mess up out of the way right then?
Yeah, we just killed it right there.
No, I'm saying yeah.
Yeah, we killed her.
We're good.
Yeah.
Do you know my sister, she thought that when you traveled, if you could just hurry up and get a speeding ticket in the first few minutes, then that way you could just speed the rest of the way because she thought you could only get one
right
per trip.
I can attest that's not true for sure.
I know, we've gotten to...
Yeah, on the same deal.
Embarrassing.
Within a short amount of time.
Right.
So it's good to see you.
Hey, you too.
Good to be home on Sunday.
You're so funny.
It's been a long week.
You're so funny. Yeah, hey, we're in harvest. We're in corn harvest still, just like we were in our last episode. We're 3 weeks in, 3.5 weeks in. And so Sundays are my absolute favorite.
That's our day.
Yeah.
And so we're recording this morning,
mm-hmm.
and I have been tasked, I think that's the right word, with not saying, at all.
Sure.
I've been using it a whole lot and didn't know it, and so hear me get slapped or pinched or something during the episode, you'll know I said,
His toes are right by me, and so I'm just going to grab them. I say it too. You're not the only one. You're just extra super talented at it.
Yeah, I'm really good with,
When I was drafting up our cut sheet for our editor, there were three different sentences that he used, four times in the sentence.
Had to get
sentence.
My point across.
And this is where that comes from. Exhaustion. Because of harvest, not being prepared because of harvest, and vulnerability. So it happens when Jay and I, but it happens when Jay is saying something that's kind of like something he would just tell me.
Right.
When he's telling all of you, it's uncomfortable. And so I knew what he was talking about and knew that's what it was. So y'all don't hear it because we cut it out. But if it ever feels a little bit choppy, which it's not gonna, that's what's happening.
Right.
We're cutting all of the you-knows and ums and...
But not only for the podcast, I've got to stop it in my daily life too, because after you pointed it out to me,
You're seeing it.
I see it more than what I had no idea.
You name a person in our life, and I'm going to tell you what they say all the time.
Yeah.
Everyone has something that they say all the time. I always say, the other day, I was saying this. The other day, I was telling her. And I don't just tell you something. I tell you that I told somebody this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why can't I just tell you what I want to tell you?
And sometimes a name that I have no idea
who
it is.
No, it's so dumb. I guess it's from my mom. I don't know.
Blame it on mom.
She's going to be so mad. Hi, mom. I miss you. She's coming in on Tuesday. So I'll get to see her before she hears this.
Yeah, so it's been a whirlwind, and we've all had some long hours, and the kids have had some long hours working too, but it's all gone good. We like probably maybe five more days or something getting done if everything gets ready, if the rest of the soybeans get ready by then. So we're getting closer.
Yeah, and you've been super trucking, so we haven't even gotten a cut yet, and that's kind of our special.
I got to run one day for just a little bit.
That's kind of our special thing, is pick a Friday or Saturday night and put a few hours in on and the combine with tacos and good music. And so the call came in on Friday afternoon that's what we were going to do. And I got dressed nice. And so funny you get dressed for the combine, but I did. then as soon as I was about to walk out the door, I got the call that it was down.
Yep.
So that's okay.
Had a malfunction.
Yep.
That's part of it.
So instead of heading to you, I was heading for parts.
Yeah. And I ended up working on them instead of riding it.
Yeah.
And that's part of farming for sure.
Yes, it is. So how has this harvest gone compared to all the others?
This harvest has been, I think we talked about it on the last one, maybe it's been a truck problem, a lot of truck problems, and probably a little more breakdowns than normal, but, you know, we're running more equipment and got a lot more acres than normal this time because we didn't get any wheat planted.
That's
so it's
right.
It's just a longer deal and everything gets tired.
That's right. I hadn't put that together, but yeah. You're right about that.
Yeah, just the things added up to make it a little bit worse. Mm-hmm. It hadn't been terrible. I've had worse ones, but has been a lot of things.
Right. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad it's going well. I really am.
Yeah, as much fun as it is, I'm getting ready for it to be over and move on to something else. Yeah, this is really my favorite time of the year when we finish up corn harvest and the weather changes and starts cooling off, and it's just kind of the downhill slide to the end of the year, really.
Yeah.
Even though we got wheat to plant, it's still the downhill slide.
I am, too. We go really long days without seeing each other unless I'm out in the field. But if I have the kids, I can't really just drag the five kids. Well, Henley will be on a grain cart. But I can't really just drag the kids around and follow you. And so it's just smarter for me to.
It just is what it is. We just have to make the best of it and do it.
It is. But when they're back in school, which is this week, I'll be able to be back in the field. And that's where I got to go with them last week for about, 12, 14 hours we got to spend out there.
Out in the heat all day, too.
And it was too much. I ended up getting a little sick just because I had gone from not much heat exposure to 12, 14 hours of it.
It was a long day.
Yeah, I just was realizing this is my place. This is where my heart is happiest. And so I'm really glad. I'm really glad this is what we do.
Me too. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to do it together.
Yeah, me
really
too.
Really is. So you had a post earlier in the week. Tell us about that.
Well, I always think it's really good to center yourself with what drives your purpose. Sometimes we can kind of get lost and lose focus. And so it helps me to kind of put out there why we have this podcast.
Right. It was more about explaining why we have it and kind of what brought us to this point.
Right. Because I think people are pretty curious, like what you guys don't really have a lot of free time. So really, why are y'all even doing this? And so it's important for me to get across why we're here.
Well, and you're going back and we know the things that we've learned. We talk about that here a lot. And in that post, you kind of boiled it down to three things. That we wanted people to get out of what we had learned from this process and to try to help them get along a little bit faster.
Right. It's three things that we wish we'd have known.
Yeah.
And so when we were trying to decide what we wanted to talk about this week, life hacks kept being our topic of conversation. Like, hey, this wasn't working and now we're doing this and it's so much better. And wouldn't it be neat if we passed this along? And that really is the gist of our podcast, is in the biggest picture of things, this is what we wish we'd have known back then when I went through my biggest struggles of my life so far, thinking, my sister always says, turn and teach.
Right.
And I just thought, wouldn't that be neat to have a podcast where we pass along everything we've learned just in case they haven't learned it yet, we could help pull them along.
Right.
Because we did have those people that pulled us along.
Well, they pulled us along. And then we always talk about how the process and everything we've gone through allows us to identify it and see it within other people and see their struggle and know, you know, what caused it or, you know, what got
them
to that
point.
And
you're so right, where we couldn't see it before, or we were so wrapped up in ourselves and our own lives. Now our friends come to us and it's so clear. The answer is so clear, and we can see how it's so foggy for them.
Well, it just helps when you can feel somebody's pain. I mean, truly feel their pain and what they're going through and how it's affecting them in their day-to-day life. And just, you know, when it's really bad, knowing that just how much they're struggling, you can sure have a heart for them.
Yeah, and that when I say you know, foggy for them and clear for us, I don't mean we're better than them or I'm better than them. I mean, I can see it because I've been there. Yeah. I've been exactly there, and so I can see.
When I wasn't at my best allows me to see that. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see exactly what I couldn't see back then.
Right.
So, and I think that's what this life is about. I think that's what the connections are about. I've had several different interactions this week where a friend reached out and I was able to really be there for them in a really cool way. And, you know, next week I'll need to reach back out to them and we'll switch positions, sure. You know. I just think that's what life is about, is helping each other along.
Right. Well, and when you say back then, you go to your past,
mm-hmm.
and that's something that you listed as one of those things that we've learned, and it's something you talk about a lot, is that, you know, your past defining you.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I heard there's a quote that says, "Don't look back, you're not going that direction," and that is one of the hardest things for me, is not to live in yesterday or last night or last week or a few years ago. And I think it is, I have by our point, lie, because it's just one of the biggest lies, you know, the enemy can feed to us, because we're prime target for it.
Yeah.
We just eat
easy
it.
Easy pickings.
It is easy pickings for us, because I can be bebopping along and just be having the most wonderful day, and my head will go, "Remember what you said to that friend back in 1987? I cannot believe you said it." And it'll take out my...
You've been referring to 87 a lot.
Yeah,
lately.
What is an 87? I was seven. That was a good year. Was it fourth grade, third grade?
Not sure, but you referred to it a lot this week. We'll go ahead.
Thanks for calling me out.
No problem.
I'm being redundant. But yeah, so I don't know what it is about, but in that little tiny thought can take out your whole day. So just knowing the truth, and I heard a girl this week, I wish I could remember who said it because I want to be able to quote her. If I figure it out, I'll put it on Instagram. But she was saying, instead of letting your feelings and your thoughts just completely overtake you, observe them. Take a step back and observe them and say, well, isn't that interesting? And then look at it from the bigger picture. And I just thought, that is really helpful, instead of just being so stuck in it. If you could take a step out and go, well, that's interesting. I wonder if that feeling is true or false. Then, you know, evaluating it and figuring out if it is or not.
Right. Well, in the name of our podcast, we talked about that and where it came from. And it ties to this first one to me, because, you know, you've got to get past all that stuff, and you've got to move on, and you can't let it continue to drag you down, and it will, like you said, at very inopportune times and very odd times, it'll reach up and grab you, and whether it's sadness or guilt or whatever, I mean, it's there. Time definitely heals it, but it doesn't completely stop it, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think any of us are immune from this either.
No, but we've both learned together that it definitely does not define us. We can still go on.
It doesn't define us, and so you really just have to stop and pinpoint it, and instead of allowing it to define you, redefining it with something that is true.
Right.
You know, like, this week I was kind of having to talk to myself the way I would talk to one of my children. I was on a run and something was really getting me, and it was dumb. I knew how dumb it was, but for some reason it was just taking me. And so I just kept saying, "Girl, you're doing great. You're doing great. You're not perfect. You made a mistake. Let's move on, okay? Let's just move on." Just the same way I would to one of my kids.
Right.
And that for me is really, really helpful.
Well, it is. I mean, it's something that you have to do every day with yourself, and pinpoint that to know when to get after it.
Yeah,
in a way,
right.
And so you talked about something else in that post that always has intrigued me, is, and that I found the more I talk to people that, and I walked around life with blinders on really before we went through, you know, everything and getting to this point, I walked around with blinders, not knowing what people are going through. And now, you know, I can pick it out from across the room nearly because I've seen it. And, you know, that's just saying that, you know, you're not alone in your struggles.
Right. Babe, I think you're such a great host because even when you're talking about what I've written, I'm sitting here going, what is it? What is it? Like, I can't remember right. what the second one is. Right. And so I'm just like, it's like I'm Dory in Finding Nemo. You know, she does have a memory. And she's like, oh, what happened?
Well, it's kind of my take on yes. it. You know, we've talked about it, but it's really, it's kind of my take yeah. on it and how I see it. So it is a little bit different than the way you worded it.
I just love how you present it. So, but yeah, for us, it's like, if you're struggling with anything that's going on in your life and you just completely beat yourself and bully yourself and you just think that you are honestly the worst person alive and no one else has messed up as bad as you,
yeah.
no one else understands, no one knows what this feels like, and it's all bull crap. We yeah. all know, we all struggle, we all mess up. If you don't think one of your friends has messed up as bad as you, you're wrong.
Yeah.
They're just doing a really good job of not telling you about it.
Yeah.
Until we can all realize that we're all on a level playing field and to be kinder to ourselves that this is life and you're not going to get out of here alive.
Yeah.
This is what life is falling down and getting back up and learning and growing, and it's all a part of it. So,
well, I know this week I had a conversation with a friend that took me back to a few years ago and struggling with the kids and guilt and not being a good enough dad and not doing enough stuff. And, you know, ultimately, like we've laughed about several times here, we were doing way too much.
Yeah.
But still, you know, listening to him took me right back to,
yes.
to that point. And
yeah.
I can say, look, I know for a fact that is not right, that you
right.
will, you know, you'll look back 2 years from now,
and
three
laugh.
Years, and laugh because
yeah.
you were saying that. I mean, everybody does it. Everybody screws
right.
up.
Yeah.
Even married couples, you know,
yeah.
you feel guilty about not spending enough time with your kids or a certain
mm-hmm.
kid or whatever, or with your spouse. I mean, and
right.
and everybody's dealing with the same thing.
Right. Yep. Definitely. I was realizing this week that I have mom guilt and you have farm guilt. And it's
yeah.
a real thing. We probably need to do an entire episode on it. But yeah, just remembering that, and by that point, I put lie also. It's another lie that the enemy feeds us to isolate us and to make us feel alienated from everyone else, because when we're alone in our sin, that's when the most damage can be done. So if we can really confide, like last episode, if we really can confide in our person or the Lord or meditation, growing yourself, you really can find your way out of it, but get out of there. Get out of that loneliness.
Well, and when you're letting your past define you.
Yeah.
And you're dealing with that struggle, I mean, that's what you have to realize, is that somebody else is doing the same thing. You're no worse. You know, you're no better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just get off yourself a little bit and give yourself some slack to get there. But that's probably the hardest thing to do.
It is. And to be, you know, when you are really that low, be extra kind. Like, girl, you're killing it. Just really pep talk yourself until you can get out of that pit.
I think you tend to, you know, what we used to call as kids, dog pile. You know,
mm-hmm.
when you get to that point, you kind of start bringing in more stuff to
mm-hmm.
beat yourself down.
Oh, yeah.
And add to the struggle. And,
oh, yeah.
you know, the hard part is getting away from that.
And not enhancing it,
it
huh?
is. And,
yeah.
and when things are really tough, I mean, that's even, that gets worse.
Right.
Instead of better, till you figure
right.
out how to get past it.
Mm-hmm.
And so on
number three,
you always say something that you say a lot is, I want to play this card.
Uh-huh.
And you made a statement in that post
yeah.
about God being your wild card.
Oh, he's so your wild card.
Yeah.
He's the answer. We're all just running around like chickens looking for the answer. And he's it. I'm just going to spoil the ending for you. That's how I can see it clearly, is telling myself he's my wild card. He's it. He knew us before we were formed in our mom's womb, before we were even made. He knew everything about us. And that's why I love you, Jay Norman, is because you know everything about me. Yeah. Anytime I ask you for something, you're probably driving already to get it. You always tell me I run every single surprise because you know me better than I know myself. So you know if I need a coffee. You know if I didn't get to find lunch today and you're already bringing it to me when I call and ask you for it. You know that my shoulder's out and I need help with it. You already know everything about me, and it's why I dig you so much. And I think if we could all just realize that God, that's the Lord times 1,000. Like, right. He created us. He knows how many hairs are on our head. He knows every skeleton in our closet by date and name. Yeah. He knows when it happened. He was there when it happened. There's nothing that he doesn't know. He knows the deepest, darkest, happiest. He knows every single thought in our minds, and he still loves us. There's not even a limit you can put on the amount of love, you know? And I just think that is so neat because, you know, maybe our friends find out horrible things about us and they head on our way. Maybe a spouse finds out something and they head on their way, and God knows all of it and he leans in closer.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, really attractive.
Yeah. I look at it as I know everything about you and everything throughout your life, and I know how much that I love you and and how much, you know, you mean to me, and then you take that to the next level.
Right.
You know, where God is and that he does that for everybody. I mean, that's pretty powerful because I know, you know, where I'm at. And that's, you know, that's whatever X times you want to say above that. So that's really powerful.
I think that's why he illustrates it as the church being the bride, because that relationship is easily compared. We can kind of relate to it, you know, as our strongest relationship. I think you're exactly right. It's not really even something you can fathom. You just have to try to. There's not really, it's not really easy to think of a love greater than the one we feel for each other. So we just kind of have to know it's bigger, way bigger, you know, our minds can't understand it. Going back to running around like chickens, this life is just like a crash course. And if you're flying solo and you don't have him in your life, I just, that's just not a place I want to be, you know, and where I want to be and where I want us to be as a family is right under his arm. I cannot imagine our life any other way. And I feel like if you're searching, you know, maybe you're trying this or you're trying this hobby or you're trying, you just cannot figure it out. What is the harm in going to the Lord and seeing if that's it? Don't take me at face value. Just give it a 2-week period and go to him and see what would happen in your life.
Yeah, he knows all those struggles and he knows the past and he knows what to do with it. It's right there waiting for you.
Right.
It really is.
Yep. So that's why we're here, is those three things are pretty important. There's other really important things that we want to get across, of course, grace and compassion and humility. But those are three hacks that we just really think if we can get them down, our life is just kind of hitting on all cylinders, you know. So we wanted to pass those along today.
And I guess, too, it's three things that really cornered us up at some point.
Don't you think?
In our life.
Yeah.
I mean, each one of them, and had to battle through them and still battle through each one. I don't think near like what we did.
Right.
And I know not near like what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, as we move closer to the Lord, that gets easier every day. And it's not only easier in dealing with, but it just makes life run a whole lot smoother.
It really does. Yeah. And I saw, you reminded me of a quote I saw this week, and it said, I've gotten to send it to several of my friends that were going through some things this week, but it was saying, remember, growing might feel like breaking at first. And it just reminds me that if growing were easy, we would all do it. It would be natural. We would all just be really killing it. But it reminds me of, you know, with my, oh, I said, you know.
There you go. I win.
Have I said it before then?
I win. I don't think so.
I don't feel like you've said it much
at all.
I'm
doing awesome. Thank you.
Okay. What it reminded me of is what I tell the kids about our food.
Yeah.
Because they all they want to do is, of course, eat pizza. And their favorite thing is cheeseburgers. And what is healthiest for our bodies and what can prevent disease and just nurture health is the nastiest foods out there to me. I'm sorry. I just don't like them. I don't like the healthiest vegetables that are most beneficial for you. I just don't. I don't like the taste. And so what I tell the children is, you know, we don't eat these foods because they're yummy. We eat them because they serve a purpose. It's not easy to be healthy. Being healthy is the hardest thing in the world. Growing is the hardest thing in the world. And if being healthy and growing were easy, everyone would be healthy and be the best versions of themselves. It's an accountability that he has placed on this world to where broccoli can fight brain cancer and a yeast roll from Roadhouse makes you not fit your jeans anymore. I mean, it's just this cat and mouse game.
It is.
So I like that quote so much. I've used it so much this week. And I think if you can be prepared to know this is not going to feel good.
Yeah. Well, and I think that you have to be very intentional to do it, because when it doesn't feel good, it's very hard to do. And whether that's if you're in a bad place and you're trying to do the 5-4-3-2-1, or if you're in a bad place and you're trying to pray or whatever, being intentional about it is hard work and takes a lot of effort.
Good.
You want to just push it to the side and and keep wallowing in the mud instead of doing it. And it's very hard to get to that point to where you can do it on a regular basis.
Yep, and you see it in so many different situations. We have a girlfriend that she wasn't in a very healthy relationship, and she was just finally really brave to get out of it. And as her friend, I want Mr. Wonderful to be standing behind the curtain.
Right.
This dude goes to the curb, and to reward you for your courage and your bravery, here is the most wonderful man that's ever been created. And that's not the case. What she wins for being brave and courageous is a lot of loneliness and pain and sadness. And I want to just hurry up and fix it. But, you know, this is where the good stuff happens.
That's right.
So it's just so hard. You want to fix it for your children and you want to fix it for your family. But, you know, and when we even started the podcast, my uncle is a really awesome pastor in Tulsa. And I went to him and told him kind of our intention. And I said, you know, we want to pass along grace to our friends and families and listeners, but we also want to teach grace to our children. And he said, do you want to know the number one way to teach grace to your children? And I was like, what? And he said, let them experience the hard stuff.
Yeah.
Let them. Let it happen. And that is one of the hardest things to do as a mama, but it is important for them to become whole individuals.
Sure. It's one of the hardest things to do as a person.
Yeah, but I thought what would be neat this week is if I kind of passed along some hacks, life hacks, and Jay passed along some farm hacks. We always try to include a bunch of stuff about our farm on our episode. So do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
You go first.
You want me to go first?
You bet.
I've been talking a bunch.
You're doing awesome.
I bet you everyone is going, he should go first. He hadn't said much.
So you were explaining to me what hacks were and what it was.
Yeah.
And Meredith, your friend, had a video up, and you'd watched it, and you know it was something simple.
Yeah.
But it was something that you enjoyed learning.
Yeah, we follow a girlfriend on Instagram. She's This Farm Wife, and she does this every single day, and it's so helpful, and it's sometimes can be pretty simple stuff. And so the other night, she was showing how to clean a cast iron skillet. And I told Jay, this is something that we should have learned when we were 10, and we probably did, but we forgot. If she would have said, well, I'm not going to do this because this is simple and everyone knows how to do this. This is dumb. then thousands of people would not have realized how to clean a cast iron skillet, even though it's so simple. Some of our things that we are going to talk about are simple, but it's just one of those, just in case, you know, you're struggling with this and you need a few ideas, here they are.
Well, and some of it we've learned by dealing with a bunch of kids and mixing a bunch of kids together, too.
Yeah, we have several friends that the kids are really little and have babies, and so we're at a different stage. Our children are from a brand new seven to 13. Maybe if you're kind of following behind us, you'll be able to foresee these things happen.
Right.
And you'll know what to do.
So tell us about your life hacks for all these wild kiddos.
One of my favorites I got from my sister-in-law. A lot of these came from other people. I didn't develop them, so I'm going to tell you who gave me all of them. So the first one is I was buying mini Gatorades, little waters. It was important in the beginning with Jay talking about dad guilt and stuff. It was important for when the kids came to our home that they had a lot of snacks and a lot of drinks. We were trying to make this home pretty wonderful and kind of party pad.
Right.
And make sure that they wanted to come here.
Well, and I had done it when it was just us, and I wanted it to continue.
Now, 3 years later, we're like, suck it up and drink out of the faucet. It's like that you live and learn and then get loved,
for sure.
That commercial. So anyways, my sister-in-law came into town, and I had kind of probably shown her how frustrated I was because I would find a little Gatorade with this little bird sip out of it. And I had even gone to the smallest. They make those mini little sodas. They make those mini little waters. And our children still take a bird sip out of it. And it's just sitting there.
And nobody claims it doesn't matter.
We have five children. I'm hand to God. If they're all five standing there and I say, whose is this? All five are going to say, not mine.
Not mine.
I mean, exactly all of them. And I'm like, well, it's not Jay's and it sure isn't mine. So whose is it? And they're all like, it's not mine. And then, I mean, if you grill them, then one of them's going to say, well, it might have been mine, but I don't think and I don't remember, you know? And so anyways, my sister-in-law was saying, girl, go to Bucky's. We have a big old Bucky's that just got built real close to here in Melissa, Texas. And if you don't know what Bucky's is, it's just like a gas station on crack cocaine. Can I say cocaine on our show?
You just did. In a very unique way, too. Crack would have been sufficient, but go ahead. You want to take it to the next level.
And so anyways, Bucky's is just this really big gas station. And she's saying, go there. I did this for our kids. She has four little ones, the same ages as mine. And got them a kind of like a mini Yeti. They're like $7.99. We let them pick. There's like 10 different colors. There was enough for our five to all pick a different color. Of course, Hen picked purple for TCU and they all pick different colors and put stickers on them. It has helped our family so much.
And no more lying about leftovers right there in your cup.
If I find a pink cup on the coffee table, I know it's Lily's. And so I know exactly who to call and say, come get this cup.
Yep, and drink it.
And drink it and put it up where it goes. It's really nice.
Yeah, it is. It's been really good.
Yep.
And it's cut down on the cups. Even when we're out of bottles, there's not cups that are everywhere.
Okay, bub, you go next.
Okay,
on my farm hack.
My farm hacks on the simple side for us is keeping parts in stock for trucks and things that are high volume. Is, you know, we have a seed business, and so our guys know to make tickets for any seed or chemicals coming out of that shop because that's how we track it. And so we put that over on to the parts side and on the main stuff and turn in a ticket when that's done. That way we know if we're out of inventory, we know to replace. It's not something that I have to go back and go make around and look and see what we're out of. So it took one less thing, you know, off of me to keep up with.
That's really smart.
And then the next one's on fuel, and a fuel company helped me here was to put sensors on the fuel tanks, and it emails me and lets me know when we're getting low on fuel. So right now, like harvest, you know, we're pulling a lot of fuel every day. I'm not there to look at it every morning And it's not something I have to keep up with anymore. He emails me and says, hey, you're at 33%. Or most of the time my fuel guy's going to call and say, hey, you're down to 500. What do you want to do? Or if it's Friday and they're not open on Saturday or Sunday, you know, call and say, hey, I need to fill you up.
That's awesome.
And my last one is an old one, but my guys make fun of me. They call it my purse. It's my briefcase that I carry everywhere
Your
around
purse.
With me. And it's stained and ripped and it's kind of sad looking. But
it's so sad.
But it goes everywhere with me, and it has checkbooks and has deposit slips. And every receipt goes in it, and it's where everything is at. I don't have to guess. It all goes in that spot. And so that's been a big one for me for, I don't know, probably 10 years. My dash is still pretty bad, but all the important stuff is in that briefcase. The dash is just kind of overflow.
Yeah, I tried to buy him a really nice Strand Smith bag to replace his purse, but because it is It's old. How old do you think it is?
It's old.
It doesn't have a zipper.
It has kind of a zipper left, yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah.
But anyways, no, it's not going to work. We've all tried to kind of replace it with something for Christmas or his birthday, and he'll just kind of chunk it in the closet and go with his old bag.
I got to get all the goodie out of it.
I like those, babe. Those are good hacks.
So those are my simple life hacks, things that's made my everyday life easier and keeping up with stuff easier. What else you had on the way down?
My other kind of pretty obvious ones, our car is just a moving Sanford and Son. And so what my hacks on that car, because we do have all of the kids, and I mean, you can be screaming, blowing their hair back, everyone get an armful before you get out of this vehicle and get all of your junk and go. And I mean, they're in the house and you look at the car and there's their shoes. And I mean, they do not get it out of my car. It's a storage unit. So anyways, my hack for that is I get a real tall laundry basket and I just open all four doors and I don't look at it, evaluate it, nothing. I grab and chunk into the laundry basket to where my car is completely void and empty of anything. Whether it's trash or a shoe, it all goes in the laundry basket. And then I go back into the air conditioner, put my favorite show on Netflix, and I go through the basket. And I'll try to do that about once a week. One of my favorite life hacks along those lines is from my girlfriend, Leah, and she helped me so much with the carpet. I was trying to find good vacuums, go to a power vacuum at the place, car wash. She taught me how to take the end of a broom off and use the broom to sweep the carpet. And I'm not kidding. It does better than a vacuum. It gets your hair. It gets all the hair. We've got three girls. They all shed. It gets all of the hair, all of the crumbs, all of the money, and leaves your car beautiful. So if y'all can just unscrew the end of that broom and sweep the carpet in your car, you can get it all out and just sweep it right out the door.
A few dogs in there too.
Yeah. One of my other ones, chores. Chores at our house, I had to figure out that all three of my children are different. And so you guys can try any of these three versions on your kids that I've figured out. But with my oldest, she likes a text. So I text everything I'm needing her to do at the house today, whether it's the dishes, unload, and then load the dishwasher, clean the kitchen, whatever I'm needing her to do, go mow the yard. I send it in a list form, whether it's on my notes or whatever, to her phone. And that way she and I don't have to communicate about it, because when we communicate, I'm going to get really frustrated. If we're going to communicate and I'm going to see her throw her arms up, her eye roll, her head back, and realize how much I pay for her cell phone, that's going to be a problem for me. So if I can go on my way, start on my chores, and text her list, that takes out that interaction, and that's healthier for both of us. My middle child loves a list written on paper. So in the morning, I'll go on a run, and I know that she wakes up during my run. And so I'll say, you know, Mom's going on a run. When I get back, do you mind having this done? And it's usually for her laundry. And then for my little guy, he's 7, we do what next? So what I say is, I'll go, can you go get the little vacuum and vacuum up this spot on the rug or wherever? and then come back to me. And that's what we say the whole morning. And so he'll run, he'll do it. He likes speed. So he'll run, he'll do it. He'll run back to me and he'll clap and yell, "What next?" And that's what we do. That's he and I's relationship with it. He just loves the task. He doesn't want to click off a list like they do. He wants a "what next." And so while he runs to do it, I kind of think of what the next one is. And with him, it's easy to hand him a Clorox wipe and have him go just wipe any surface he can think of. I tell him to hit the light switches and the doorknobs. He's good at those. And then if y'all can get that little duster, the little fluffy duster, it extends, and those are fun for little kids. And so I'll just spray it with, you know, some dusting stuff, and I'll hand it to him, and I'll just tell him, go watch a show and hit all of the places in the living room for Mom.
Wow.
And so anyways, those are my life hacks with chores.
Well, and those seem to work with mine. You kind of got to give them something to do and then get behind them with a whip and crack it a little bit.
No, you just have to leave.
I can't watch.
I don't come after my stepson too much at the house, because none of my other children have put 14 hours on the green cart. So to me, when he's here, I just let him decompress and relax. With my stepdaughter, she's amazing. I mean, she will do anything I ask her to. She doesn't like when Jay asks her to do anything. And she may ask me, when is Dad coming home? So that she can probably vent to him. But if I'm asking her to do chores, she and I still have a relationship to where she doesn't really want to upset me, and I don't want to upset her.
No.
So it just gets done. I don't overload her. She doesn't give me an attitude. It's pretty great.
Right. That's yeah. Good middle of the road.
Yeah. So do you have any big farm hacks?
Some that I would call, I had written down a little more big, a little more complex. And for us, you know, in Texas, we've got drought probably 7 out of 10 years. And dealing with that, and we've put in a couple of pivots trying to learn about that process and see if it's something that's going to work long term for us. We don't have underground water here. For you people listening that do have pivots, we have to dig lakes and you know, get the above ground water to be able to do that. And so
right.
It's something I'm excited about, but it's definitely not a cheap venture, but I think it's something that has a place here. And And then the other one is on the chemical side. And, you know, I grew up in the past, and I think in this area it's all been kind of a knee-jerk reaction to putting chemicals out when we had to have them. And I think now with the chemicals we have and the genetics we have, we can do stuff ahead and not and be preventative instead of being a knee-jerk reaction, and save money and probably be better for us long-term. And that's something that we've transitioned to more in probably the last 3 to 4 years than in the past, is trying to stay ahead of something. And as you grow and you can't get over it quite as quick or whatever, that becomes a bigger issue.
Right. I like that. And that can kind of translate to a lot of different areas of our life.
Sure.
You know, with medicine or care or, you know, anything. So
right.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I definitely have learned over time that it's a lot more fun to be ahead of something than behind it and trying
right.
to play catch up. And that's on the farm. Here in Texas, for sure, and I know not just here, but a lot of places, if you're behind, it's going to be hard to ever get caught up. And
I think that's really helpful.
Yep.
So.
And I had thought about some others, too, and I don't know, we didn't really talk about this, but just something, you know, a future hack on the farm for me. It's stuff I'm thinking about, you know, that I want to do on down the road, things that are going to improve. Did I say it?
Mm-hmm.
I gave it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Darn it, I thought I was going to make the whole episode.
When I edit it, I'm going to find a bunch more.
You think?
I do.
You think I slipped some in? We're just so used to it, we didn't even know it.
Yes, because I want to say that they all know we do it, but they don't because we edit it. But, so I am going to say our friends know. Our friends know that we say it way too much.
Well, I'm working on it. So can you think of any future hack that you might have? I had a couple for the farm, but have you...
What do you mean future hack?
Well, like for the farm, and so like we're harvesting corn right now, and we've always just run traditional corn heads.
Mm-hmm.
And
we bought
one head that's a chopping head, but the others aren't, so mm-hmm. I can't... We're running it by itself right now. That would keep us from having to plow as much. And so that's a hack and improvement that I'm looking mm-hmm. at down the line. And then the other was just info collection, where you know, I have to go back and at the end of harvest or when we're planting and kind of keep up the varieties and do that. And we're trying to get set up to get that more put in the tractors or on an app or something like that.
Sure.
And I've been slow to transition because, you know, technologically wise, I'm not real adept at that. So anyway, that's something I'm having to work on, but it's something that's a future hack.
Future hack. I think the future hack that comes to my mind, because right now my life is about running. I've started back running. I am going to meet my nephew and my brother-in-law in Tennessee in October for a trail run. It's the longest run I've ever done. It's really silly that I jumped in with both feet, but what you do to be with your family.
Yeah.
And actually just to be with my sister.
Well, and I think, too, you knew it would jumpstart what you were really wanting to do.
What I was wanting for my life, which was that physical activity is therapy for my mind. I was hearing that this week on a podcast that physical activity can be as potent as our strongest psychiatric medication. And that is so true in my life. I've been back running, and my brother-in-law was teaching me that for the race, the big day, you know, we all kind of practice one way and compete a different way. And whether it's at basketball, you know, we've got t-shirts and low tops, and then we get in an actual game and we've got these uniforms and ankle braces and headbands that, you know, different. It's a difference.
Right.
What's really a life hack for me and what he is teaching me, my brother-in-law, is on that day in October, that's how you need to be running now. So whatever headband you're going to want in October, order it today. Whatever shorts you're going to be wearing for that race, run in them now. That way there's not any surprises. So on my runs, I'm paying attention to, do I like these socks? Do I like this shirt when it gets sweaty? Is this headband thick enough to keep the sweat off my face? Where am I going to put my inhaler? Am I going to wear a band around my waist? Or I got a water bottle this week that goes in your hand and it has a little pocket so I can put my inhaler in there. So it's like all of this practice for the big event, you know, doing it the same way. And I think it has been really, really helpful. And I think it's going to, you know, future hacks. I think it's going to be really helpful for on that day, knowing exactly what works for me and doing it that way. And I think that can transfer to so many different things, you know, whether it's CrossFit competitions or any of your sporting events. You know, we just our association just switched the girls over to practice uniforms so that they would be wearing uniforms during practice and uniforms during the game. I think that's so smart.
Yeah.
I was asking you, does that transfer to the farm? Because we don't really want to be one way during the year to where harvest is such a, what is the word?
Such a shock, I guess.
Yeah, you know, thank you.
Yeah,
where you're wanting your operation to run a certain way all year long so that there aren't any surprises. And you guys do a good job of that with checking the machines and running everything through tests and stuff.
Right, just preparation, looking ahead and, like you say, having those things ready or deciding what's going to work best. I think it's just preparation and having everything there, and it's just taking the time to sit down and do it all. Some of it's stuff that you've done so long you just do and don't think about it, but it's very easy to miss things that can really affect you, and especially those first few days.
Well, and it is with me, too. You know, I would have never thought, in 10 weeks, I'm going to run a race, so I should figure out which socks I'm going to wear.
Yeah.
But it is important. You've got these socks that slide. You've got these socks that are too thick. Now your feet are going dead. I mean, you have to figure out these things so that you can compete in the best way possible. And having it just become part of your routine is so helpful.
Right.
There's already so many things that can go wrong. Your watch can freeze. Maybe you don't like your playlist. So it's really helpful to minimize those things so that that day can operate more efficiently.
Right. A few less things to worry about and be ready to roll and make it a good experience.
Narrow it down.
You said something a while ago, and you've talked about it a lot this last week and the week before. And it's kind of your default in life is if you have something going on, you're ready to go for a walk or you're ready to go for a run. or if you get down on yourself, you want to go to CrossFit, and that's your default to do that, and that's something that you've talked about a lot the last 2 weeks, and I think you've talked to other girls about it and doing that. And right. So, I mean, what gets you to that point that's what that is? Or, I mean, that you said that that's something that helps you out of that tight spot. What gets you to that point where you do that?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you're just saying that you default to exercise to get you out of that bad mood or to get you out of that sad spot. I mean, is that something that you just realized over time, or, I mean, how did you come to that point?
Well, I studied kinesiology in college and was a personal trainer for like 15 years. So physical activity and training is very, very natural to me. But what I was more, because I minored in sociology, what I was more interested in, it was the mind-body connection. And so realizing that physical activity does cause us to be able to breathe better, to be able to release endorphins that are mood boosters. Just like this week on Armchair Expert, Dax was saying that if any of his sobriety friends come to him with a problem, his first question is, have you exercised today? And his thinking was, because after an hour of exercise, you're not going to feel this way anymore. And that's me. And I think there's a lot of us out there. And I think that is why God designed us this way, is to get moving. And how important that is in my life. You want to get sad and crawl into the bed and shut down, and kind of sometimes a run is the last thing you want, but you know it's the first thing that you need. And so it goes back to those vegetables, and it goes back to growth feeling like breaking. Sometimes it's not easy to get my butt to the CrossFit gym.
Yeah.
Then I can turn it off onto autopilot, and someone else is going to kick my tail.
Right.
And it's really that really helps me.
Is it something that you've always known, or is it something that when you got into life's more, you know, harder struggles and the tougher times that it became more apparent to you or became a bigger deal, or has it always been there?
I don't think I fully understood it until this year. Isn't that weird? I just didn't. I think because this year is the most I've dealt with anxiety and anxiety attacks, and I'm a studier, so I'm going to study you, and I'm going to study me, and I'm going to study the kids. And so in studying me and studying my life, I'm seeing that January through July, I had this many anxiety attacks a month. In July through present, I haven't. So what's the difference? And the difference is I'm a runner. Isn't that weird? It's just so funny. I was talking to my girlfriend about it this week, and she and I are the exact same age. And she made some comment, isn't it ridiculous that I just figured out that I'm happiest when I'm training? And I was like, no, it's not. It's not ridiculous whatsoever, because it's always right under our nose. The answer is right under our nose.
You know, and that's one of the hardest things to get yourself to do, like
what?
You said, to get in there and do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
To get that physical activity when you're down.
Yeah.
And it just, I was just bringing it up, you know, looking and thinking about what we were talking about, you know, defining your past and dealing with those struggles and how to deal with it. We know we go to the Lord and He takes care of it ultimately, but at that time when it's happening, you know, stuff like that allows you to just fight it off.
Sure.
And be able to step out and
see
do that.
It.
Yeah.
See it more clear.
Yep.
So those little sentences help me. When I hear him say, I ask a friend, have you exercised today? Because I can promise you after an hour of exercise, you're not going to feel this way. That makes me go exercise for an hour.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? It's just we kind of pass these little tidbits along to each other, and we take what we can use and we throw out the rest or forget the rest. So,
well, it has to be in the context where it finally finally goes in your brain and clicks and gets to where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it does.
It takes a while. What else you got, babe?
I think that's it for today. I probably could talk about this all day.
Yeah.
Because it's something interesting to me. So I do talk to my girlfriends, you know, what works in your house? Because we're finding some things that works in our house. So do you want to swap? So yeah, I probably could do a whole other hour about this, but I bet you we should wrap up.
Well, and that's something too, just bring the thought of all this as you look at all of it. That's what it boils down to is talking to people and about what they've struggled, talking to people about what they've learned to help with their kids. And that's something that I'm not good at and something I've really never done up until the past probably 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
After being with you, that I'll sit down and talk to anybody and even ask them. And it, you know, if it's on the farming side or on the personal side, I mean, that's a big deal, just being able to sit down and open up and, and you know, comments people have made to us about doing this podcast. I mean, for me personally, I mean, I can tell that I've grown to be able to do that. When somebody says, hey, you know, you're doing good. I had a friend call the other day and say, hey, you're doing good. I'm glad you're doing it. And, you know, I told him it helps to hear that. And it's helped me personally to, you know, to open up and see things and being able to fix some of that stuff for myself by learning what somebody else did.
Right. It's funny how we all really do have a lot to offer each other.
They really do. If you just sit down and take the time to listen and talk about it. And from a guy's standpoint, just to be open to it, because I, you know, pretty well shut down and had my own ideas, but that's not right. And I know that now.
Mm-hmm. Now we don't associate with people that act like that. So I wouldn't have been your friend back then.
Probably not. Probably not. What else you got, babe?
Nothing.
All right. Well, the song says the road goes on forever and the party never ends.
Let's go eat a sandwich by the lake.
All right. Yep.
By the cows.
Yep.
Okay.
I love you.
I love you so much.
We sure appreciate y'all listening today. If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can search for us, Moving On Podcast. That's 3 words. On Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We would love to hear from you. With ways you're figuring out how to drop the ropes in each of your own lives, and even ways that you're not, hell, that's just as entertaining to us. See you in a couple of weeks.